In Gaza, humanitarian aid groups have been struggling to do their work in dangerous conditions. Last week, two family members of a Doctors Without Borders staff member were killed and six other people injured when an Israeli tank fired on their shelter in Khan Yunis. Doctors Without Borders says the shelter was clearly marked and that the Israeli military knew it was there. Karine Huster was in Gaza that day, but she was not in the building. Huster is a French trauma nurse and a medical coordinator for Doctors Without Borders, or MSF. She just spent 5 weeks in Gaza overseeing medical care there. Karine, it's good to speak with you.
So good to speak with you as well.
And I understand you're taking some time off now after what must have been a very difficult deployment. How are you holding up? I mean, you just must be exhausted in every imaginable way.
I am, but I think of my Palestinian colleagues that don't have the luxury of going to a place where they can rest and where they can feel safe. And so I feel for them much more than I feel for me.
Yeah. Well, if I may, I do want to ask you about this explosion at the MSF shelter last week. As I said, you were not there, thank goodness. But as far as you know, what happened?
As far as I know, they were having dinner and all of a sudden there was an explosion. And so the result was that two persons died. Five or six were wounded, some of them severely. And I think there is an investigation going on that will explain more clearly what may have happened. But what I do know is that all of MSF shelters are clearly marked, and the Israeli Defense Forces know that these are MSF shelters. They are deconflicted, meaning that we have requested from the Israelis authorization to, you know, occupy those places or to rent those places. And they're clear marked with flags or banners. So it's just incomprehensible that this happened.
The shelter was hit on the same day that the United States vetoed a UN Security Council ceasefire resolution, and Doctors Without Borders Secretary General Christopher Lockyer strongly condemned that failure. Here's what he had to say a couple of days later at the UN.
How can we deliver life-saving aid in an environment where the distinction between civilians and combatants is disregarded? How can we sustain any type of response when medical workers are being targeted, attacked, and vilified for assisting the wounded? There is no health system to speak of left in Gaza. Israel's military has dismantled hospital after hospital. What remains is so little in the face of such carnage is preposterous.
He says there is no health system to speak of left in Gaza. So how did you treat the sick and wounded for the past 5 weeks? What was that experience like?
Well, again, back to Palestinian colleagues and as well healthcare workers from Gaza. The reason that the health system hasn't completely collapsed is that they are still working there despite the dangers that everyone knows of. I mean, they're risking their lives every day to treat their own people. They will not abandon their patients. So it is incredibly difficult because it is impossible to bring the right amount or enough supplies. It's difficult to bring oxygen bottles, glucometers. So they're working with almost nothing. We humanitarian workers, Doctors Without Borders and others really are trying to support the care of the patients, but we have our hands tied. And so I am so frustrated and sad when I see, you know, how little I have accomplished. Not because we can't do it. We can. The supplies are right on the other side of the border, right on the other side of Rafah. The people are there and ready, but we are being blocked in every form possible from doing what we need to do.
Have you seen patients die that would have otherwise survived under any kind of normal scenario or situation?
What I can say is that I have seen patients being brought to emergency rooms, and I can think of two in particular. They were the last ones that I saw. A young kid, maybe he was 12 years old. He had been playing in the street, and the house right next to him was targeted. Everybody died. He was brought in. What looked like massive head injury. You know, nothing could have been done for him. There was another young lady a few feet away on the floor. They had intubated her, but then they just left her there. And I mean, in our country, in the United States, in Europe, in any place where there is a health system that's working, these patients would have been brought to get an MRI, to get a CT. Mm. They would have had intravenous lines put in so that, you know, they would receive IV fluids and pain medication. Nothing like that was done because there are no IV lines. There is no IV fluid. There is no pain medicine.
Over the course of this conflict, we've seen images of people leaving hospitals after the Israeli military has demanded that they be evacuated. The Israelis mm-hmm. say that Hamas is using these hospitals as a cover for their military operations. What about that? Have you seen any sign that Hamas is doing that, using hospitals or even the space underneath them as cover?
Personally, I have never seen that. Every time that I have worked in our hospitals, all the time that I have spent, I have never seen any evidence of that. I see patients, I see hospitals that are 300% over capacity. I see displaced people sleeping in the hospital because they are so scared of sleeping outside. That's what I personally have seen.
Yeah. As a trauma nurse, you've just laid it out. You've seen a lot. I understand you've also worked in the Democratic Republic of Congo in 2018 during the Ebola outbreak. I just wonder if there's any comparison how this mission you just completed in Gaza compares to anything you've done before.
No, it doesn't compare. And it doesn't compare because in Gaza, we're faced with a country with an immense power that is basically controlling what you can do and what you cannot do. You know, inflicting punishment on another and preventing any kind of assistance to the civilians that are bearing the brunt of their attack. And I don't think I've been in a place where all these pieces were lined up this way. You know, basically preventing everyone from helping the population, from giving them access to care, from giving them access to food. I mean, we haven't talked about the North, but the entire humanitarian community is unable to go to the north to see what is going on in the north and to bring food because the people are so hungry that they attack the trucks, the convoys that are coming in.
As you know very well, there are these ongoing fragile talks underway for a 6-week ceasefire. You've had such a profoundly disturbing experience in Gaza over the past several weeks. What would you tell the representatives involved in those negotiations if you could sit down at the table with them?
I wish people would come. I have yet to see anyone come to Gaza and see for themselves what it's like. It's easy when you're removed. That distance just gives you somehow an ability to make decisions that you know are not right. But if you came, and if you saw what we see, you know, what humanitarian workers see, you would never make the decisions that they make. You would never veto for the third time a ceasefire. A ceasefire is the only thing that is a decent momentary solution to this carnage. A ceasefire would allow us to begin to answer the ocean of screaming needs that there are in this country.
Karin Huster is a trauma nurse and a medical coordinator for Doctors Without Borders just back from Gaza. Thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
And one final note on this story. We asked the Israel Defense Forces about the explosion at the shelter. The IDF confirmed it was involved, saying that Israeli forces fired at a building where it suspected terror activity was occurring. The statement said that after the incident, reports were received of the death of 2 uninvolved civilians in the area. The IDF said it regrets any harm to civilians and does everything in its power to operate in a precise and accurate manner in the combat field. It went on to say that as part of the lesson learning process, the IDF began an examination of the incident.